Hey, it's Brian Curtis from The Ringer, and I want to tell you about the Press Box podcast. The Press Box is a podcast for anybody who likes news, whether it's about sports or politics or pop culture, and wants to understand how that news really gets made. We have new shows every Monday and Thursday. We have long interviews with everyone from John Krakauer to Joe Buck. Your social media feeds are bursting with information every day. Let us help you sort it out. Join us on the Press Box.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Let's roll, baby. Welcome in. Monday edition, East Coast Bias, getting you ready for the national championship game. Recapping what was a rather eventful weekend across the board. We welcome in Joe House, Raheem Palmer, John Jastrzemski. We're getting ready for the wonderful eclipse that is coming our way at 2:30 in the afternoon. I will be at Yankee Stadium at 6 o'clock, boys, and then I will be back on my couch. You know, normally, House, I bellyache about the 9:20 start time. It's dopey. It's ridiculous. I can't believe they start the game at 9:20 at night. That said, when you're going to Yankee Stadium and you know you're going to be on your couch right after a baseball game, it's a nice little way to draw it up, dude.
Well, it really only accommodates people that are going to baseball games. Otherwise, it's a disaster. And, you know, honestly, I don't know why they couldn't stage it such that the men's game, if you're going to play the women at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which was its own separate disaster, the highest rated women's event in professional or college, right? Like the most eyeballs ever on a women's sporting event, other than, I guess, maybe the World Cup. But if you're going to play the women at 3 o'clock, then play the men in the evening. I get that they play the night before and everybody's got to rev up and all that stuff. But these are college kids. They can play back to back. Anyway, that's all.
I know this, Raheem. You being a creature of the night, you take the games to 2 a.m. You don't care. You're like, whatever. The later, the better for me.
Yeah, I'm up that time anyway. So, I mean, I'm up at like 3 a.m. watching Chinese basketball. So, like, just whatever the games are on, I'm watching.
I know that. Okay, so no surprise here, gents. We're going to have UConn and Purdue. And we've been talking about this now for the last couple of weeks. After just watching these two teams start off the way that they did in this NCAA tournament, I think it was the round of 32. Purdue, in a standalone game, smashed Utah State. It was like, wow, it was eye-opening. Then you had UConn, that was like a 15.5-point favorite, smoke Northwestern. It kind of felt like we were on this collision course. And Raheem, we hit that UConn over Purdue bet. Well, at least we have it pending at minus 110. You're not getting UConn on the money line at minus 110 for this game coming up. But House, when you go back to Saturday, you know, I actually would look at that Bama game and say it was rather misleading, because if you actually sat down and watched the game in totality, I know the box score and the final score is going to say UConn won by 14. It was a much closer game than that. Bama hit some shots. Bama was athletic. Bama hung in there for 32 or 33 minutes. They just were overwhelmed and they couldn't get stops. And you kind of just too many answers, too many guys that could go and hit shots consistently. But I got to give the Crimson Tide and Nate Oates credit. I thought they played a hell of a game. I really do.
It was an impressive, like, announcement of their arrival in the upper echelon. And all credit to Nate Oates. They took a team that had Brandon Miller last year and got all the way to the Final Four and gave what I regard as the very best team in college basketball a hell of a game. I mean, Nate Oates to his own team with the inside the last 3 minutes is like, look, guys, nobody has really given UConn this kind of trouble. Let's try and take advantage. We play close games. Those guys don't play close games. Now, ultimately, it came down to what you described, JJ, which is UConn just makes all the big shots every single time. But, you know, I'm not sure in this age of the portal and the NIL, I am sure of the idea that Alabama is going to be a participant, able to raise the resources necessary to build the right kind of team. But it's hard to say, like, who's going to be on Alabama next year. I do think they made a pretty credible case, though, that they belong in that upper echelon of college basketball.
Okay. So then you have Purdue taking down NC State. Raheem, I had NC State plus the points. I split the two games. I had UConn in the night session. I had NC State early. You could tell 5 minutes into the game, Edie was going to eat their lunch. DJ Burns, who was so much fun to watch all NCAA tournament, had absolutely no answers. But it was a game in which Purdue, they looked sloppy. I know they covered. Painter said it after the game. We didn't play well. Turning the ball over, a couple of backcourt violations, really didn't get their backcourt going till the end of this game. So now as I look ahead to Monday, I don't know if you feel this way. Purdue has got to get a lot more contributions out of guys other than Zach Edey to have a legitimate chance of going and winning this game. Like, that's my fear factor. Is we look at UConn and Purdue, and we size it up. UConn is a 7-point favorite. Raheem, where is Purdue finding answers other than Edey? Because this line, from a metrics Vegas sense, a little out of whack, a little out of place. KenPom having it as a 3-point spread. Yet you look out in Vegas and on FanDuel, we're talking about a 7-point spread. What gives there?
Well, I think Braden Smith has to show up. You look at that game against Alabama. You're talking about a guy who probably is their second best player. He had 3 points and was 1 for 9 from the field. So he has to show up in this game. But the one thing I will say is that Alabama, and we know UConn's defense has just been a complete problem during this tournament, holding teams to 80 points per 100 possessions during the entire tournament. Well, Alabama was able to score efficiently. They had an offensive rating of 112. So I think Alabama, who, if you look at their offense, they do have a top-tier offense, but I think Purdue can match that. And I think Zach Edey continues to be a problem for everybody. So I do think Purdue can keep this game close. Now, the thing that stands out for me is that not only is UConn covering all of these games, the totals are going under. They've gone under in pretty much every game. We gave out the under in the last game. I think this is another under here. I think you're looking at the total of 145.5. I don't see this being a shootout. So I would go under here. That's where I'm looking.
Interesting. So Raheem somewhat making the case here for the Purdue Boilermakers. And House, full disclosure, dude, I want to root like crazy for Purdue. I'm sick of UConn. I'm over UConn. They won it last year. They're smoking all these teams. I'd like to see somebody else holding up the trophy when it's all said and done. I just have a hard time looking at this matchup and saying, yeah, I'm going to go against UConn here. Raheem hit on it. The last 2 years in the NCAA tournament, they've won every game by double digits. They've covered every game. Literally, win and cover every single game. It's hard going against that. And I think that's why the odds makers, despite what KenPom is telling them, they're saying, no. You're paying a UConn tax. You want to bet UConn tonight? We're sick and tired of the public lining up and laying it with UConn blindly. We're going to make this line a little bit more out of whack because they're a cover machine. We can't keep giving you low numbers with the Huskies.
And part of that tax is also coming from the public. I mean, you're paying the public premium, too. I think this was, didn't it open at 5.5 or something where there's five and a half in the market?
Yep, it was definitely 5.5.
Everybody just jumped right in like, wait a minute. All UConn does is win by double digits. We're on a streak now of 9 or 10. But I do think I prefer the angle that Dream addressed, which is the under. UConn now under in 6 straight games and 9 of the last 10. And I think it's a function of their ability, their unique ability to get out and defend the perimeter with wings that range between, they have a bunch of guys that are between like 6'4", 6'5", and 6'8". And they just get out and they put pressure on teams on the perimeter that they're unaccustomed to. Even with that, Alabama, to Dream's point, was efficient. Purdue doesn't have the same offensive efficiency. They have to run through the big guy. Both of those elements, to me, push this number down. So that 145 and a half, there's some, I think I might have seen 146, but I think FanDuel was sitting at 145 and a half. I prefer the under as sort of the larger play here, but I'm also going to play on UConn, right? Sometimes the obvious answer is the right answer.
And Raheem, would you jump on that total immediately? You think we're going to see a lower total as we get closer to tip-off?
Well, it actually opened at 149. So, like, sharp money's been hitting this under all week long. Like, and I just don't know if they can make it low enough. I think this line probably should be about 142, if I'm thinking about it. So I would grab the 145.
Still think there's good value there with the total at 145. And yeah, been a whole lot of UConn covers, been a whole lot of unders in these particular games. We'll see if the boys have a best bet on it coming up in a little bit. Guys, I was into the ladies' basketball this weekend. I'm not going to lie. I loved it. I was into it Friday with UConn and with Iowa. I had UConn +3.5. I was not a particularly happy camper house on that show. Let me tell you something. The end of that game, from a betting perspective, was like a roller coaster because you're thinking UConn's in great shape. They have the ball down to, all right, this is how the game is going to be decided. Then the offensive foul happens. And I'm like, oh, they were down one, excuse me. They were down one. And I'm like, oh, geez, what's going to happen here? So Clark gets the ball. She goes to the line. I'm like, just hit both. No phony business. And we're out of here. Makes the first, misses the second. Guys, I'm staring at like 0.7 on the clock. I'm like, are they going to foul her? Are they going to call a foul? Oh, what's going on here? Thankfully, they threw the ball up in the air and I ended up getting my UConn cover. And then yesterday, I mean, how good was South Carolina? Clark was on fire in the first quarter, but their size, their depth, it was just, House, you see why they were undefeated all year, man. That team with Dawn Staley, what a bunch of monsters. Holy smokes.
And you know, they handled their business. That game, to me, never really felt close. I'm glad that Iowa came out in the national championship and I think acquitted themselves fine. Like, they had a couple of opportunities in that fourth quarter if they could have just knocked down a bucket. But you could see degree of difficulty-wise how hard Iowa had to work to get shots, how hard, you know, even Caitlin, the shots that she took were off balance, off platform. Now, that's kind of her thing, but they looked especially kind of forced. And, you know, Iowa, there was no margin for error. There was just too many missed layups and stuff. You know, the tiniest opportunities that they had, they weren't able to capitalize. On the Friday night game, look, I had 2.5. I had Iowa -2.5. Woo! And Caitlin Clark is standing at the free throw line about to deliver my cover. I had parlayed that with South Carolina money line. That was like an even money proposition, -101. But look, I don't have any problem with the idea that that was a foul. I understand the outrage that followed around the discretion of the ref to call it at that moment. That's all fine. It was a foul. I at the end of the day, you can't argue that it wasn't a foul. You could just say you should have swallowed the whistle there.
Well, you know what it reminded me of, Raheem? It reminded me of the Eagle Chief game a couple of years ago, whereby, I guess, definition, letter of the law, it's pass interference or legal contact on James Bradberry, but it's just a call I don't want to see made in that situation.
I think the biggest thing is that you have to call these games consistently.
That's right.
Yeah, and I just don't think it was consistent. I don't think that they would have called that earlier in the game. So it's just, like, you got to let that go. And I grew up watching Reggie Miller shove Michael Jordan to get open for a game winner. I grew up watching Michael Jordan push off for a game winner in the NBA Finals. Like, no one wants to see refs decide the game. We want to see the player. Like, even if it's jail ball and it's some physicality, it's just, you got to let the games play out.
And Raheem, I guess from a numbers standpoint, just following along on Twitter and getting a sense in the pulse of what people were wagering on come Sunday, it sure seemed like the public couldn't wait to go put their money on Caitlin Clark, yet it seemed like a lot of the wise guys were coming in on undefeated South Carolina, and you finally had a situation where the public ended up losing one of these games because South Carolina.
Well, they lost the last game because Iowa was favored against UConn, and UConn covered because Caitlin Clark missed the free throw. So, like, I mean, the public has lost two in a row when it comes to women's basketball.
Well, maybe the empire, as we like to say in the business, is starting to strike back. So, big weekend of college hoops. We'll have the championship game. We'll have some picks before we wrap it up on Monday night. All right, guys. Big weekend in the NBA. There are no games here on Monday. NBA taking the night off, letting the boys in college do their thing in Arizona. Watched a lot of basketball yesterday between the ladies at 3. Then I was dialed into the night session in the NBA. House, obviously, Knicks and Bucks was near and dear to my heart. And I understand Middleton ended up leaving that game. So I get it. That's a big loss for Milwaukee. Let me make this perfectly clear. The Bucks stink. That team doesn't guard me, you, and Raheem. That team cannot be taken seriously. They have a coach that never wins when it matters in Doc Rivers. I am out on Milwaukee. And let me take it a step further. And we put this in a little group chat that should be shared for all the masses out there. House, if we get either Philly or Miami in the first round against the Bucks, give me that plus money. Let's go. I'm taking either one of those teams. I will bet it as soon as the series price comes out.
I mean, you and I are in the same boat here. And the way this is lining up for the Bucks, they might not win another regular season game. They're on a 4-game losing streak with the appalling streak beginning with the Wizards and going on Grizzlies, Raptors. Now losing to the Knicks is okay, I guess, except for they got blown out in the fourth quarter at their own gym. And this is the real problem with this losing streak. All 4 games at home. I mean, 3 of the 4 games at home. Grizzlies was at home, Raptors at home, Knicks at home. And if you look at their scoring and scoring efficiency in the fourth quarter, it's an absolute abomination. They take terrible, terrible shots in the fourth quarter, and they don't defend. So this is absolutely a worst-case scenario for the Bucks after having gone the direction that they went with Dame. Dame makes $50 million next year. He makes $45 million this year, and they are super, super prime. To your point, to get bounced in the first round, Dream.
Yeah, when I look at this Bucks team, like, Doc Rivers should have stayed in food and beverage.
Should have stayed on the golf course. Could have made millions of dollars. Now, listen, he's getting paid a gazillion dollars by the Bucks, so I understand financially he's coming out A-OK, but listen, to coach that team or to play golf every day out in L.A., to hang with Brini and Doris Burke doing games once a week, and then here's the difference for him. We like being liked. Doc would be loved. Everyone will love Doc doing the games. Now he's this loser coach that can't win. I mean, listen.
And then he had a good thing going with our very own, the Pie Father.
His little thing that he had with the Ringer. I didn't even want to go there, but you can. That's why.
He should have stayed with us. And I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about this team has lost 4 straight. Well, they've lost 6 out of their last 7 dating back to that double overtime game against the Lakers. And then they lost to the Pelicans. So this team is in a total tailspin right now. And the one thing that I noticed watching that game is that Damian Lillard is not the same player. Jalen Brunson is a better player than him at this point.
Not even close. Let me step in here. If these morons, to any of these voters out there, if you vote Dame Lillard over Jalen Brunson in All-NBA ballots, you should not be allowed to vote for the NBA All-NBA team ever again. It's really as simple as that. Can you believe that crap, Raheem? You know, I saw that, for the All-Star and starting All-Star, which, whatever, who cares? All-NBA, that shit matters. Brunson better be All-NBA over Lillard. I'm glad
Without a doubt. I mean, it needed to be said because this was their big free agent acquisition. Well, excuse me, their trade acquisition. This was supposed to take them over the top. And it seems as though it's made this team worse. And you're looking at a team and everybody's saying, oh, the top-notch talent of Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Well, that doesn't exist at this point in time because Dame is not the same guy. And we know how flawed Giannis Antetokounmpo is. in postseason settings when you're playing in a half court and you can't get up and down in transition. So if you have that and you can't stop anybody on defense and you have a coach who's known for blowing 3-1 leads, I don't know where you go. So not only am I fading this Bucks team in the first round, I'm also fading the Cleveland Cavaliers because they might be the only team that's worse than the Buccaneers at this point in time, because you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like what was that road trip? They were up 30 against the Clippers and lost in regulation. Like, they got blown out by the Lakers. They got blown out by the Suns. Donovan Mitchell looks like a shell of his former self. He looks like he doesn't want to be there. The offense is just clunky. This team is a complete mess. So those are the two teams that I'm looking to fade in the first round.
All right. I totally agree on both of those takes for what it's worth. Now, I want to bring this up with you guys. I know we have no basketball today from an NBA standpoint. The standings right now are so fascinating. We know Boston's the one. That's a given. You could pencil them in, lock them in, the whole deal. House, Milwaukee, Orlando, the Knicks, and the Cavaliers, 2 through 5, are legit separated by a game and a half. You have Milwaukee taking on Orlando twice this week. Now, Indiana has a cupcake schedule, but like, if I'm a team, like from my fandom standpoint, as a Knicks fan, I want Indiana. That's the team I want to play in the first round. Sign me up for Halliburton, who's been in decline, a young, inexperienced Pacer team that doesn't defend at a high enough level. Like, that's the team I would love to facilitate and draw up a perfect scenario for the Knicks to go and play them. You know, it's tough, though, for these teams to say, we're going to do this or we're going to do that, because it's like, well, Orlando plays Milwaukee twice. There's just so much uncertainty. I almost feel like if you're a team like the Knicks, or if you're a team like, you just got to win your games, right? Like, it's insane trying to figure out who's playing who.
I think that's right. And Rick Carlisle made an observation to that point. Like, we can't, at this stage of the season, try and handicap how this is going to land. It does seem like in the East, the sweet spot is 2 or 3. And, you know, as between the Knicks, Orlando, and Milwaukee, that's, you know, how that's going to get you. That's the way to avoid Boston until the Eastern Conference final, is to get land in the 2 or 3 spot. But I won't handicap it. It is the case that the Bucks have the hardest remaining games. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Orlando, you know, end up in that 2 spot.
Can you imagine Orlando as a 2 seed? I mean, that is.
I kind of can.
It's crazy thinking about that. And by the way, Indiana's schedule, Raheem, I think they'll avoid the play-in. I know they're at Cleveland on Friday, but they got the Hawks and they have the Raptors at Toronto. I would think Indiana gets 2-1 in the next 3 games. I would think.
Yeah. I mean, the Raptors are in a total tailspin. And then they have Cleveland. Like, Cleveland is just, they're a complete mess. And I think they can beat them. And they might not even have to play that game against Atlanta. So I agree with you there.
I have to look, though. It's crazy with these tiebreakers. Like, I know from a Knicks standpoint, they don't have it with Milwaukee. They don't have it with Orlando. They do have it with Cleveland. Insanity. Like, is there, Raheem, a scheduling angle that we should look to this week? Like, just in general, like, is it, should we be careful of these teams where it's like, oh, they have to win? Like, how do you look at it over the final week of the year? How do you shake that out?
Well, I think you have to kind of look at it case by case, because here's the wild card. The wild card is the fact that there's teams resting players at this point in time. And we don't know that until the day of, as we found out last week with Joel Embiid. So you need to look at the resting situation. You also have to look at, like, I think the scenarios are going to play in on the last day of the regular season after you have some teams clinch their spots. And then obviously every year you have a team who says, you know what, we want this position, so we're going to tank to get out of playing this team. We saw it with the Clippers a couple years ago against the Dallas. I think they were playing the Oklahoma City Thunder and they wanted to play Dallas. So they kind of tanked that game. So you kind of have to really wait to this weekend to see where teams are at. But it seems like right now, most of these teams are just going to play out the string and hope to win games.
And that's the problem, House, I have in the Western Conference, where, you know, you would think the 1 seed would be like, wow, we're going to have it set up. You don't, you don't know if that one seed is going to end up with the Lakers. You don't know if that one seed is going to end up with Sacramento. Like, it's crazy because Minnesota, Denver, and OKC are all separated by a game. And then Dallas, I think, with their win, I think they're going to be able to avoid the play-in, assuming they don't tank over the final week of the year. And then you have, like, Phoenix, New Orleans, Sacramento, and the Lakers all separated by a game and a half for that final play-in spot. So, insanity in the West, insanity in the East. I have no idea what you're getting over the next week, to be honest with you. No clue.
We're in the same boat. I mean, this is really, to me, it comes down to, for that 8 seed, I think a Golden State Pelicans matchup potentially. That's the way I see the Lakers what they have left swapping places with the Kings. So that means that Golden State gets to play the Kings in the play-in, and then Golden State beats the Kings, and I have the Lakers over the Pelicans. Lakers then coming in at the 7th seed. So it's up to Golden State and New Orleans to see who gets that final playoff spot. It's just juicy stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of these teams play each other. You look at the Kings. They play the Thunder. We don't know if SGA is going to be back, but I think he is. Then they play the Pelicans, the Suns, and the Blazers. You look at the Lakers. They play the Warriors on Tuesday. They play the Warriors on Tuesday. Then they play the Grizzlies, and then they play the Pelicans. So a lot of these teams just play each other. So, there's just a lot to decide this week.
All right, guys, we'll come back. Best bet, Monday, national championship game, right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
All right, boys, before we do these best bets, I got to throw this in there. These are offshore odds for what it's worth. I'm throwing them out there. How about Calipari leaving Kentucky, going to Arkansas? Clearly the boosters were in Cal's ear saying, get the hell out of here. Arkansas brings him in with open arms. Their boosters, their donors happy to get him. What do you think of this, Raheem? Nate Oates plus 350. Scott Drew, who would be my choice for the next Kentucky coach at Baylor, plus 450. Bruce Pearl, 6-1. Billy Donovan, by the way, there is no chance he's leaving the NBA. Even though he played for Patino and there's the whole, storyline. No. Billy Donovan is not going to the cesspool that is NIL, and he hasn't done it in a decade, but he's at 625. Hurley, 650, not leaving. Patino, 11-1. Jay Wright, 12-1. Your thoughts on the next Kentucky head coach, Raheem?
Ooh. I think you got to go with the guy from Baylor, I guess. But, I mean, why would he want to leave there? Like, it's just tough. And I know it's not Patino because I don't know at this point. This is interesting.
Could you imagine House if Patino ended up going back to Kentucky? That would be insanity. He's not leaving that house on wing foot. You know that. No.
He's got it too good up there in the greater metropolitan area. I love that Jay Wright at 12-1. Like, is there any amount of money that Kentucky couldn't put on the table to lure him back? I think, to Dream's point, everybody else, all those other names, why would they leave those situations? The playing field is even now. What we're talking about in terms of these blue blood programs is how much money are their boosters or their collectives pulling together to acquire the best kids, and how can you tell the best kids that this is your shot to get to the NBA, your best shot to be on a platform where you're going to get to the NBA? I mean, or access to NIL money. Those are the considerations now. There are no longer any recruiting advantages. It's just money. So which programs have the best collectives can put the most money on the table. That, to me, suggests somebody taking a longer shot in terms of the coach.
See, I get that with Jay Wright. I can't see Jay Wright leaving, though. I mean, he's got it too good. I feel like Raheem, he would have never left. You know, yeah. I don't think it's about money with him.
What's Sean Miller's odds?
Don't have him up right now. So he's a name that's worthwhile. He's built programs before. He's a little shady. So, I mean, if that's, well, you know, if you want to go down that road.
He's a college basketball coach. I mean, come on.
But that's why, though, House, to your point, Oates ain't taking that job, I don't think. Because Bama right now, with all the football money that's coming in, he's got it made. They got NIL up the wazoo.
Right.
And there's no pressure. They're happy at Alabama. If you get to the second weekend of the tournament, they're focused on who their next football coach is going to go to get to be the quarterback and the number one running back and everything that comes with it. So I think Scott Drew leaving Baylor far more likely than Nate Oates leaving Bama. But I want to throw that your way. Calipari out at Kentucky, going to Arkansas. And listen, schedule makers, make sure Cal is going to Rupp Arena next year. I know they may only play once. Make sure that's a game. We all want to see that in January, February, when it's 10 zillion snow and it's cold and it's miserable outside. Give me a game I can watch and I can bet. All right, bets, championship game. Raheem, I think I know where you're going, but take it away.
All right, we got two. So we're going to go with the under 145 on this game. I already mentioned how great the Connecticut defense is. But we're going to take the 7.5 on Purdue. And
wow,
this is
we're going with the Boilermakers.
Interesting.
Woo. So, I mean, a big part of this is that JJ, he gave us the play last week. He said UConn over Purdue, we got it at plus 100. So this gives us an opportunity to middle the game and just have a risk-free bet. We got it at plus 100. So we don't even have juice on that side. So let's just take the 7.5 and hope it lands in the middle. Hopefully get a
post. Now, Raheem, question for you. At FanDuel, there are some 7.5s in the market. We've seen it earlier. But it's 6.5 now. Would you still advise everyone, hey, if you have that UConn over Purdue ticket, that's a great number. You could win both of those and be comfortable. You know, you really could.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to go with. It's just a good middle opportunity. You can watch the game pretty much risk-free. And, well, I know I shouldn't say risk-free because you are risking a slight amount of juice. So you're risking a slight amount of juice to win two units. And so I like that bet there.
All right, House, best bet.
I'm going to keep it clean. I'm just going to play the under. I don't know what the threshold is. It might be because we're going to see 144.5s in the market. They might be out there already. It might be all the way down to Dream's point, right? But 71-70 gets it there, and that also provides that Purdue cover that the Dream is looking for. But I do think that this is going to be, you know, the pressure of the moment. A lot of these championship games have been rock fights, even with, you know, the shooting prowess of a team like UConn. I like the under. That's my preference. Bonus bet, it is Masters Week, a tradition unlike any other.
Yeah,
JJ.
I was going to say, I'm very excited. I'll be firing my card in officially on Wednesday when we do East Coast Bias, but you got an early pick for us, so please share.
Yes, so we will be up on Fairway Rolling all week long on FanDuel TV tomorrow, in fact, with our good pal, the data statistician, Justin Ray. Love this. This is my evergreen pick every year. We like exciting things to happen. Hole in one on number 16 is a yes at -165. That's an evergreen prop. Will there be a hole in one during the tournament on hole number 16? Yes, -165.
I like that. It's a fun one to root for. Sit around, watch 16. All you need is one ace. 4 days, one ace, make some magic, and away we go. I look forward to Fairway Rolling. Hopefully, we'll be able to have a nice little card going into the weekend, House. We'll get into that when we do our East Coast Bias as well on Wednesday. I have that UConn over Purdue ticket that we talked about, guys. I'm doubling down, though. I think UConn is winning this game. They've covered 10 consecutive tournament games. They have not lost a game, or they've not, you know, lost the cover. They win every game by double digits. Why is it going to be different today? See, I understand the ED angle of this. I just think the players on the perimeter for UConn, the Caravans, the Spencers, the Castles, the Newtons, they're going to abuse Purdue from that standpoint. I don't trust the wing players of Purdue to do enough to make this game competitive. So, guys, I'll roll with you on the under. I like the sound of that. And even though my heart will be rooting for Purdue outright, I think it's a UConn back-to-back, belly-to-belly. I'm taking the Huskies laying 6.5. I can't think twice, guys. Sorry. I'm going boring. I'm going chalk. But guess what? This tournament has been all chalk. All right, gang. I'll see you both Wednesday. We'll have the home stretch of the NBA. We'll have the Masters to look forward to. Good job by Stefan. House, you'll still be east side, right? We will not be west side until Thursday, correct?
That's right. I got to be in the lab all the way up until the tournament, the golf tournament starts, JJ. So I will be here with you gentlemen on the East Coast for East Coast Bias, our Thursday FanDuel TV show.
Beautiful. And Raheem, we got 100 coming out Tuesday.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't even want to talk about yesterday.
No, let's,
losing
let's,
day yesterday.
We're moving forward.
We're going to turn this thing around.
Well, we're on to Cincinnati. Good job by Stefan. Boys are out. Enjoy. Let's cash some tickets. Be good, everybody. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9 with it in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-gambler.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.